Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We wrap up the week on this Friday. We look ahead to the weekend with football, and we look in the rearview mirror to see one of the wildest weeks in a long time for the Chicago Bears.
Very weird.
Something.
It's a weird week.
People are still fired up. People are still hot.
Hot.
The conversation has been incredible. The phone calls have been outstanding. 312-332-3776.
It's been good. I walked out of the building yesterday. I got to tell you, my dauber was down, and I looked outside, saw my car, and I realized that Vincent Van Dong was back, and the art had returned.
Someone's at it again, huh?
Somebody's at it again, so it put a smile on my face a little bit after a disappointing football conversation yesterday.
Well, they were gone for the artwork was gone for how long?
Several weeks.
Yeah, and then they reappeared.
Vincent Van Dong is back.
Can you correlate that to anybody in the building?
I thought it was Carm because yesterday I was walking down the ramp and Carm was talking to Gian Greco, and I told Carm, "Don't you dare write anything back up on that," and he says it's not him.
Could it be Gene Greco again?
I don't think so. He's not going to ruin a manicure for that.
Says who?
I don't think he ruins a manicure for that.
You may be looking at all the wrong places.
I don't know if it was a good day or a bad day, but it was weird.
So I put this out there on Twitter. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. And it's because, and I brought this up in conversation, but I have not polled the question. And I'm interested in getting phone calls on this as well. 332-3776. Are you angry / disappointed / upset enough to boycott the Bears in 2021?
I voted no.
Me too. I voted no as well. And someone made a comment, 8-8. Yeah, sure. 8-8 in a playoff appearance. That sounds like boycott to me. I'm putting it out there simply because I've gotten a lot of tweets to reaction from the press conference, from the George McCaskey interview, saying, guys, if you really want all this to stop, if you want Ted Phillips to go away, you want restructuring, you want changes, you must boycott. You must turn away from the product. And I don't believe, like we've hit on, Waddle, that it's conducive. I don't believe that in 8 months from now that these people will still be in the same state of mind. They will go through a summer. They will go into the fall with renewed hope. And I don't believe the season's too short. There are not enough games. 16 games is all we get.
You get 8 home games, and it's a money machine. And as much as you may want to speak with your discretionary dollars, and I would never discourage anybody from doing whatever it is they want to do. Like, if you want to take your kids, even though the product isn't up to snuff as you deem it, then I would never tell you not to go. I said that to you about the Bulls. Look, if Mason and Braxton love to go see Benny the Bull and they love to be part of it, even though Daddy's unhappy with the product right now, I'd never begrudge you for going to the game. Your kids are enjoying the atmosphere. Go have at it. I'd do the same for the Bears. Like, if you decide you don't want to spend your discretionary dollars on going to the games, that you know, I support your right to do that. If you want to go, I'm not going to bang on you for that as well. I just don't think it's nearly as influential as it is in other sports because there's only 8 home games. Because every team gets a check for $275 million because of the television rights. I just don't think it can have the same type of effect. I'm not telling you it can't have any effect. I just don't think it can have the same type of effect in other sports.
Right. I told you there's only one time I did it. It was the 06 Cubs season when I decided not to go. And that was well before kids. And I was very, very angry. And it was a long, long drought of obviously a World Series. And things were getting worse. And then they fixed it. But I don't believe you guys. I don't believe the people who tell me that they're ready to boycott, that they're ready. Someone just said that they're going to watch, you know, Cap's postgame show with Olin and Alex Brown and Lance Briggs and not watch the Bears game itself. I don't believe you. I don't believe you in September that you're going to do that. I put this out there on Twitter 19 minutes ago. And in 19 minutes, I've received on my Twitter page already 2,600 votes and 92 replies to this. So people have thoughts on this. And if you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776.
They have thoughts about it. In response to the person that texted you or tweeted you and said, oh, yeah, right, they're 8-8, and they went to the postseason. Why would you boycott them? Like, what I get from the question is, it's not just the fact that you find yourself, as we have dubbed it, in NFL hell because you're mediocre personified. It's what you also heard in response to this mediocrity on Wednesday when they met the media, when they told you, basically, that it's okay because everyone gets along. They told you that it was all going to be fine and we've got the answers because guys like each other and work well together. I think that kind of was the gas on the fire, that you are already very disappointed because you've pushed it all in. It's all in. There are a lot of inflection points here, too. The quarterback position is obviously always one that gets people fired up. And when you go back to 2017, and we won't rehash what happened, that inspires a lot of emotion. You know, you brought in a coach to revolutionize your offense, and your offense has been bottom third in each of the 3 years they've been here. So there are a lot of heightened football emotions. And then again, instead of kind of a mea culpa, and I mean, they did acknowledge that they did some things wrong, but based on what you heard, it probably chapped your saddle region more after hearing what they said than what you saw on the field on Sunday.
Yeah. And to me, we talked about this a little in the pre-show fist fight, Waddle. There was no need for Ted Phillips to be there. There was no need for Ted Phillips to speak. To me, that was almost like saying, hey, we hear you how you don't like our football president, or our, as George corrected you, our team president. We hear you how you want changes. So here he is. Ha ha. He's staying. He adds nothing to anything. There was nothing that he added to that. And it was almost like, you don't like him? Well, tough. My dad used to say tough toenails.
Really?
That was George McCaskey saying to us, tough toenails. That was him putting him out there. You don't like this guy? I know he's been here for 21 years. I know he's in on all the hirings and firings. I know Ryan Pace answers to him. You don't like him? Here he is. He ain't going anywhere. And to me, Waddle, I am at my low point of the way I feel since George McCaskey's taken over at around 2010.
I don't think they're that calculated. I just think that they're tone deaf. I don't think like they decided, hey, you know what? You know what we're going to do? We're going to flaunt the fact that we're not going to make any changes.
Why
didn't
he speak last year? Did he speak last year, or was it different? Because
I don't think so. I don't think there was any reason to, because you were 8-8. I don't think there were any questions about whether or not there were going to be any changes. I think that the consideration for changes now is the reason why you saw him. But again, I don't think it's like they sat around and go, hey, how can we further inflame this situation? Oh, we'll let Ted be part of the Zoom presentation. No, I think they were tone deaf and how they perceived it was going to be received.
I want to play you, and Chris, I think you have up there on the screen the portion of George McCaskey with us yesterday. And if you've not heard the interview, you can get the entire interview on the ESPN Chicago app. All your podcasts are there on demand. All your favorite shows on ESPN 1000. And it's a great way to listen live all the time, no matter where you go. So many different convenient ways, but this is easy to use. It's a one button here, one button there app. It's so simple. So download that today. The entire interview is available there. This is George. We went back and forth about the structure and Ted Phillips' role with the Bears.
In our structure, the general manager is the football guy. So I know different structures work for different organizations. We think we have the right structure, and we think we have the right people in that structure. I tried to explain yesterday that this notion that Ted meddles in football affairs simply isn't true. Yes, Ryan reports to Ted in our structure, but Ryan, the general manager, is the football guy.
One thing about that, and I've never accused Ted of meddling, but like what you just said, that you and Ted, the decision-making process was ongoing. Like, why is Ted involved? He's had 21 years. You've not won a Super Bowl. You've been to one. You're a big Chicago sports fan. Things didn't change with the Blackhawks until Rocky changed the structure. Things didn't change with the Cubs until they changed the structure with Tom Ricketts. Why are you apprehensive to move Ted off to the side and to let someone else be your president?
Well, I think in both the case of the Blackhawks and the Cubs, it wasn't so much the structure as the people they brought in. And I don't know all of the intricacies of the situation, but I think in the Cubs case, they did what they needed to do to get Theo Epstein to come aboard. And it worked out great. I mean, I'm a Cubs fan. I was thrilled with the result, but I don't think it was so much the structure as the people within the structure.
Were you thinking at all about putting in a call to Theo to at least advise you?
No.
Why not?
Well, we thought we had good advice from people we trust. I've met him once. I can't say that I really know him. Have probably a far better relationship with Tom Ricketts than anybody else at the Cubs. So we felt good about the people that we conferred with when we made our decision.
So here's the point I want to bring up to you, Waddle. George said it's the people they brought in. That's my point here, okay? Bringing in a football president, I don't need that. Like, a lot of people have gotten bogged down in the, we need a football president. You know what? I need Ted Phillips out of the president's role. That's all I need. I need a new president. I need a new guy to advise George McCaskey. I can't fire George. As a fan, I can't ask George to fire himself or to sell the team. So who's the highest power guy there? It's Ted. So my way originally of putting it was, you want to be nice, move Ted off to the side like the Cubs moved Crane Kenny, make him business operations president, and get a baseball president. If your top football guy is Ryan Pace, fine. Get a better president there, because it's been 21 years, it's been far too long, and it's been the same result.
What is the people you bring in? I mean, and it is, I mean, you could call it, where it's the structure conversation is semantics. Is all it is. I mean, like, the Cubs are a great example, as you described. You took a guy who was involved in business ops, and it wasn't his strength, or in player baseball ops, and you moved him into business ops. You did find that person. You did shuffle your structure. I mean, that's all you're asking. If you want to follow the Cubs blueprint, it'd be fine by me. Take your business, your president, who's got a business background, and put him in charge of all business issues, and bring in somebody else who can play the role of president of football ops, and we can give him that title instead of just the president of the entire organization. Make him the president of football operations, and he's the guy whose office door you knock on when you need to make a decision that will impact the franchise.
And that's why I've brought up John McDonough in the past. John McDonough wasn't a hockey guy, but he was a shrewd business guy. He moved into the president's role with the Blackhawks, and they made big-time changes. Now, it started with Rocky. It's got to start with the owner. He's got to have a vision, but someone's got to help him. And Ted's been helping this guy for 21 years, and they stink under Ted. So it's time for a new voice in the president's role. And that way, when Dennis Savard started four games in, and it was an unpopular decision, but John McDonough saw that Quinville was out there, and they made the move, and it wasn't popular. So it doesn't have to, quote, be a football guy. My point here is, if you want to play semantics about football president versus business president, this or that, what I need right now, I need Ted Phillips out of there, because this is too much Bill Wirtz, this is too much Bob Pulford, and this is what the Blackhawks were in the mid to late 90s into the 2000s until Rocky took over.
I think you could argue, though, that the Blackhawks needed someone like John to get them back on track from a business perspective. The Bears don't need that.
Right, right. Like, because you had TV issues and season ticket issues.
Right, that thing in the NFL, that thing's on cruise control.
Look, all I'm asking for is a new president and a new way of doing business. Because business as usual has sucked. 332-3776. Want to take all your calls coming up. And the poll question, 61% of you say no, you would not boycott. But I'm surprised by the ones saying yes. There's 38% of the people saying you would boycott.
I ain't boycotting.
We've already had 3,300 votes. We'll get to all your calls next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right. Joey Bag of Sunshine tweets the show. Joey Bag of Sunshine, not Joey Bag of Donuts.
Joey Bag of Sunshine.
Yeah, he's full of sunshine. He's the bright one.
I wouldn't want to keep the sunshine in a bag. You want to let it out. Let it warm people.
But that's what Joey says. Right. That's his name. He tweets and he says, Sylvie, listening to you on the air now, you want a new president. I get it. What George is saying is Pace is, in effect, the president when it comes to football decisions. Ted is business, Ryan is football, and they don't need anyone else above Ryan. That's what I hear George saying. And Joey Bag of Sunshine, I understand you, but Ryan, but Ted Phillips is in charge.
Who does Ryan answer to?
Right. He is in charge of evaluating Ryan Pace.
Right.
He is in charge of advising George McCaskey when it comes to firing and hiring. He is in charge of running the entire operation that when the top football guy says, look, I want to ghost everybody. I'm ghosting them. I'm on my own here from the draft, and I'm not letting my coach know who I'm drafting here, and I'm not letting anyone know I'm trading from 3 to 2. I'm not letting anyone talk me out of it. While the Chiefs have Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, John Dorsey, and Brett Veach. Who is it?
Yeah, John Dorsey was.
John Dorsey, yeah. And Brett Veach, all hands on deck. So you've got Brett Veach, who's going to brilliant mind Andy Reid, who's going to his offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, and John Dorsey, who's the general manager, and they're putting all these guys under the microscope. Ryan is saying, I'm solo. I don't want to be talked out of this. And if you had a correct checks and balances, if his boss was doing it right and was holding his feet to the fire, that wouldn't be involved. Because you would say to yourself, look, this is a huge decision. You want this to be investigated by everybody. We should have dissenting voices, Ryan. I get it that you're convicted. But we need, we need to go over the pros and cons of all this. This kid's only played 13 games.
Collaboration's a new concept.
Right. Yeah, now it's new.
Yeah, collaboration's a new idea.
I get that Ryan's the top football guy. I need a new boss, period, because it's not George. Robert in Bensonville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. I'm on 355 now, but, you know, it don't matter. So I usually listen to you guys on the podcast. I'm usually a day late or a few hours late, and I heard the interview did, and you know, you start pressuring him about Ted Phillips, and he answers about, I don't judge him by a week or a game or months. I judge him on the whole totality. And he said he was there for 21 years. So I did my own work, and I went 20 years with Ted Phillips as the at his position. With the most important position, 24 quarterbacks in 20 years. 24 in 20 years. You use those numbers, that's like one quarterback a year. I know Culler was here for 8. Mitch was here for 4. You take those 12 years out. They could have left Culler earlier, but this is the totality. If I'm able to do the totality of this guy, Ted Phillips, off of Wikipedia, what are these guys looking at to say, you know what, 24 quarterbacks in 20 years, and I think about 3 or 4 of them were drafted, maybe 5 out of 20 years, and this is the guy that says, you know what, I believe him. I trust him. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Robert, thank you. You're absolutely right. It's just like Bob Pulford. Now, Bob Pulford played. Bob Pulford's in the Hockey Hall of Fame and coached. But the old man Wirtz just pulley this, pulley that. And losing. And it wasn't until they changed things till the Hawks came out of the dark ages. And it's the same way with George now. Linkin Park Hallis is on the line. Shout out to the Twitch crew. What's up, Linkin Park Hallis?
Hey, thanks for doing the shout out for me. I got a bit of a hot take, and it may or may not rub our favorite 85 Bear Waddle the wrong way, but part of me thinks that maybe the worst thing that happened to the Bears franchise is the 1985 season. And what I mean by that is that it gave ownership something to continue to sell 20, 30, 40, probably 50 years from now, because we're not going to have another Super Bowl victory to our name. You look at an analogous franchise like the Steelers, and they had an equally iconic defense with the steel curtain. You don't see people going to Heinz Field wearing those as many old jerseys as you do going to Soldier, seeing only Peyton jerseys and Dick Butkus jerseys. All this team does is sell nostalgia because it sells, and that's all they care about. And it means that we're developing the sense of complacency among fans to not accept anything new because we always have something to look back on in the 1985 Bears. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, how many young fans even remember the 85 team?
No, most don't.
I mean, so you can't, that's not their selling point.
Black and Abdallah were young. I think they were born in 85. Weren't you guys born in 85?
Yep.
85 is, yep. I mean, you probably associate more with the 05 team, right? Or, I mean, was it 05?
Yeah.
I mean, it's mm-hmm. You guys aren't going. So, in response to the caller, look, I mean, there's plenty of fans right now that have really no recollection of the 85 Bears.
Right. It would have been like me when I was a kid and 85 never happened. People talking about the 63 Bears. Yeah. All I knew from the 63 Bears is reading. You know what I mean? I was born after the 63 Bears.
Do you think when Ryan Pace made his decision about which quarterback to pick, he had it on his brain there? You know, this really isn't going to matter because we make a lot of money. I make money. You know, we can lean back on the 85 team if this. No. Ryan Pace doesn't make those decisions based on some sort of comfort level that is created because the asset's worth a couple of billion
dollars. Are they evaluating Pace based on that? That no matter what, Ryan got Mahomes or he got Trubisky, hey, we're the Bears. We're okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it is, I think it's poor decision making more than it is anything from top to bottom.
But would it hurt more another owner? Would it hurt Jerry Jones more?
I don't know. I mean, Jerry Jones consistently makes bad decisions as well.
Right.
I mean, bad decisions aren't just a disease that resides in Lake Forest. I mean, there are plenty of organizations that make bad decisions. It's not my job to hold the Cowboys accountable, though. I mean, I think that they have made some really bad choices, I think, from top to bottom. I don't dismiss Ryan Pace's mistakes because he's got some level of certainty with his job because everybody makes a lot of money.
Is Ted in the position he's in for 21 years with the track record he's got because they're fine money-wise?
The answer is yes.
Because there's no other rationale you could use.
Or there's a comfort level there that for whatever reason they feel they work well together.
Doing what? Making money. But they don't win. If they're judging it on winning, it's not good enough for an owner that the team president has been there for 21 years.
Well, why do you think they keep him around? Because of
the books are good.
Sell the team. Sell the team.
I think because they want to be in the football business. His books are good. Ted keeps the books good. And they're good that way.
I mean, I could keep the books good. I mean, you get $275 million every first of the calendar year for the league.
Ben is in Austin. Ben, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's up?
You tell us.
Been listening all week. Been a great week listening to you guys and the George interview. Thanks for speaking on behalf of all the fans, I think. But I was calling about your Twitter poll, and I had two different perspectives. I agree with you guys that, not enough people will actually boycott the Bears and, to materially impact, anything, right? They're going to sell out as soon as people can go back, all that stuff. Agree with you. But I did want to offer kind of, a different perspective. Maybe not boycott, but I will tell you, I'm in my late 20s, and all of my friends and I, we think the Bears are kind of a laughing stock. So we don't have much seriousness about, our fandom right now. Two, we watch all the NFL. We play in fantasy leagues with the times changing. We bet on games, So maybe not immediate impacts, but down the road, like, we're all contentious being NFL fans, betting on the games, and, like, that's where the younger generation is starting to go, watching fantasy. So, you know, they might not boycott it, and we might not, like, see empty stadiums, but, you know, that's kind of the mentality of, you know, late 20-year-olds who just like football. Like, we don't need the Bears to enjoy a Sunday.
It's fair. It's fair. And, I mean, I would not dispute that. I think you make a lot of good points. But, again, there's only 8 of these games at home to go to. There's only 16. I mean, you're going to choose a team and you're going to root for them. I mean, right. It's just the nature of the beast. Like, you can watch 82 basketball games. You can watch 162 baseball games. You may get bored. You may be uninspired because your team doesn't win enough. But every Sunday in the National Football League, you've got your team. I mean, I just think football has they've got a hold of something here because of the nature of the business.
I've got a PSL, a season ticket holder here, who's going to sell his PSL. I want to read that to you when we come up. And Waddle, I've got a quarterback name for you. Would this name be the best case scenario? Possibilities on who the next starting quarterback of the Bears would be. Is this the best case scenario, considering where the Bears are? That's next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is from Muskie Hunter.
Whoa, Muskie Hunter.
You should grade all the... You when I read you a Twitter handle, you should grade all of them on a scale
Muskie
of 1
Hunter,
to 10.
I give him a good 7.
Yeah, Muskie Hunter 62. He says, PSL owner, and I can't take another year of Nagy and the BS, the personnel usage, and his offense. PSL going on market once they sell Hope from free agency in the draft.
How much does a PSL go for?
Chris, did you have to pay PSLs?
Yeah, you absolutely have to. I don't know what they were bought for because they were implemented when the new stadium was
rehab.
So
right.
I don't know.
And you can sell them.
I think they were minimum 10 grand.
I mean, you could also keep your PSL and sell your season tickets and make profit off of it, but Muskie Hunter wants to throw the lure in and let it go.
So that means it's what you're doing when you sell the PSL. It's like you're selling your home, right? You're transferring the title of the tickets into somebody else's name. Yes?
Yeah, you no longer have the rights to them.
Right.
Like, you could keep your PSL, sell your season tickets, and
you
make,
still have the rights to every year get the season tickets, and then you sell them to somebody else.
Yeah.
But once you sell the PSL, you sell your rights to buy the tickets
that's
with
it,
them.
And that's all.
Yeah.
Okay. What about this name? And it's a name that you've brought up before. And if we would brainstorm and say, all right, they have the 20th pick in the draft. They're stuck with Nick Foles' contract. They may not be able to draft a quarterback at 20. We probably don't want to trade up because
who knows
you need a lot of other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Ryan Pace is doing the dealing.
I know. I don't know.
So is the dream – I mean, I don't even want to call this a dream because I don't think it's a dream, but is the best-case scenario, considering where you are, that the 49ers release Jimmy G and you sign him? Is that the best possible scenario? Where he's still young enough to possibly be your future. You've seen enough good. Of course you have doubt. It's why the 49ers, there's injury issues. You've documented the interceptions. But he still could be young enough and good enough to be a possible solution while filling the current hole as a stopgap.
What do I got to pay him? I'm not giving him $30 million.
Right.
I'm just not. He has not proven that he's... Listen, I was one of his biggest supporters. I put the film on early in his career, and I liked what I saw. As he got more and more opportunities, he stayed less and less healthy. Like in his first year in San Francisco, he played 6 games. His second year in San Francisco, he played 3. His third year in San Francisco, he played all 16, and he helped the team get to the Super Bowl. This past year, he played 6 games, and in several of those games, he was hobbling all over the place. I mean, the number of missed games is 10, 13, that's 23. He's missed 33 games in 4 years. How can I spend any money on that? I just can't.
I know, but a lot of the other options are not good.
Not just that, Sylvie, but Like, he is 29. That's still young for a quarterback. You could sell me on that if you got him for
a prove-it deal.
Yeah. 1 year, $10 million.
Right, right. Mark in Round Lake, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're great.
Good. So, first of all, Dale Tenowin built the Blackhawks, not Stan Bowman. Stan Bowman's been a joke. But here's my question. How many NFL teams have won the Super Bowl with a quarterback that they did not draft? I'll hang up and listen.
Brad Johnson won it. Was he drafted by?
Yeah, no, he was not drafted by Tampa. They acquired him in free agency.
Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer. Right. It's all those names. Like, even Nick Foles technically fills that with Philly because
right.
they drafted him originally. He left and then came back, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
But they drafted
him. My guess is what you guys are going to get, Mark. You're going to get, it's a good question, and I'd have to look it up again, but off the top of my head, you know, I don't think there are many. Based on what I heard yesterday or the other day and where they sit from a salary cap standpoint, my guess is you're going to get a whole bunch of Nick Foles, and they're going to sell him on you, or they're going to sell him as the answer for now, because the interior of their offensive line was improved, as you saw the last six games. We're going to upgrade our tackles. So Nick's going to have more help. Because he's not very mobile, we're not going to put him behind a line of Swiss cheese. We're going to help him with the running game. And with the benefit of an offseason and a training camp, Nick's going to be a significantly better player in 21 than he was in 20. That's what I'm telling you they're going to sell you. I don't know what else they can do. I know. I'm just telling you, what else can they do? That's why when you look at this situation and management tells you they feel confident that they've got the right guys for the job, we've said it 1,000 times. What decisions are they going to be able to make because of the restraints they have from the salary cap issues? They have the 20th pick. And, oh, by the way, you're going to make decisions to try to, you know, enhance your job security, which may not be the right decisions for the organization 3 or 4 years down the line. So what are they like if they come to you and say, hey, we're going to bring Fitzpatrick in? I don't know what they do that. I think, again, I think what they're going to do is they're going to run Nick Foles out there. He's already under contract. You're paying him a decent amount of money. Matt's reputation is still staked to him. I mean, the reason you brought him here was familiarity.
Everything back, doing it the same, basically.
That's why everyone's pissed, Sylvie. That's why we're all sitting here angry and scratching our heads, because that's really the only path they can take, isn't it? Tell me, is there another path?
Well, that's why I gave you Jimmy G, or you got to buy low on one of these quarterbacks that's going to give you bitter beer face. But that's that sometimes could be better than just standing pat.
Is Jimmy G going to come here and take a 1 year prove it deal with this team? Jimmy G, if he's available, yeah, he may be able to go to New England. There may be other opportunities for him. If I'm Jimmy Garoppolo and I've got other choices, why would I come to a team where the perception is the coach is going to be fired in a year?
Well, it's your hometown, and it's a team that needs a quarterback for the future. And there's nobody in that role. They haven't drafted a guy yet. And so you could say, look, this could finally be my forever team.
Well, you remember when Musa Muhammad said Chicago Bears, right, that's where a receiver goes to die? Is it more accurate that that's where quarterbacks go to die?
Well, that's why receivers go to die, is because of the quarterback.
Well,
That I think is what he infers. It's
that
bold.
May be true, but like I don't think that Mitch Trubisky died because of the lack of weapons. I mean, we weren't the number one team in the league in terms of talent on the edge, but Mitch Trubisky didn't quote unquote die in Chicago because of the lack of help around him.
A couple of the names for his answer too. I think the two best names to give him for answers are Drew Brees and Peyton Manning.
Okay,
because Peyton won in Denver,
right?
And then Drew Brees obviously was drafted by San Diego. Those are probably of the other ones that
aren't
journeymen.
What about Steve Young? Wasn't Steve Young drafted
by Young's another good
Tampa
one.
Bay?
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's done. It's been, and there have been greats who have gotten out at different points of their career.
Listen, I'm not telling you I would completely dismiss the Jimmy Garoppolo issue. I would just tell you I would tread, at this point, not knowing all of the different particulars, I would tread lightly.
Okay. Don in Hoffman Estates, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Don?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Donnie.
Good afternoon.
First of all, I want to say I'm a longtime Packer fan. What you guys are going through is what we went through in the 70s and 80s. Mm. We're a state-owned team. We were run by a judge. And, you know, he's not a football guy. What you guys got are business guys up there. They're not football guys. And it didn't change the Packers culture until they bought Mark Murphy in. And that changed the whole way Packers did things. And as far as how smart your business guys are at the Bears, I did exhibit work up at the Lambeau Field for Packers Hall of Fame, which draws more people every year than a Pro Football Hall of Fame. I also did work at Hallis Hall. And I mentioned to them about getting a Bears museum or an exhibit that the fans could see. I mean, who's got more memorabilia besides the Packers and the Bears? And their response to me was they didn't see the return on investment. I mean, how many fans in Chicago would want to go to see all the memorabilia the Bears have in that history? They don't show it. So as far as their lack of business sense, I mean, how could they have business when they don't even see that opportunity, thinking nobody wants to even see that?
I would think, though, not to be overly defensive of that, Don, I would think going to see the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame or the Green Bay Packer, whatever it is that he worked on, would be more of a destination for people in the community that, like, Chicago's a bigger city.
Yeah, we got the Art Institute, and
right.
We've got several world-renowned real museums. Like, you guys are in Green Bay, a town of 100,000, 150,000, and you're falling for the fake stock stuff. So I get it.
Yeah, I'm not you trying to be a turd, I'm just
but
saying.
I'm not buying, yeah. I'm not buying, like, I'm not waiting in any line or going to any museum to see the 85 Super
yeah,
Bowl
no,
trophy.
I know.
I mean, you go to the United Center right now, and all you have to do is walk through the concourse and you get to see the six championship.
I'm with you. Yeah, I don't
you know,
think
the
it's
six
necessary.
Championship trophies. I don't need a Chicago Bears museum.
Right. That's kind of the point I was making. I didn't want to offend the Green Bay folks, but I'm just
you can.
It's
all we
it's
have.
More of a
Waddle.
Destination for them than it would be for a city folk.
I have a Green Bay question for you guys too that could turn your stomach. That's coming up next.
Now that you have a new health plan, you should plan to use it. Find helpful tips and more help at GetCoveredIllinois.gov. Your health coverage starts here.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Get to my Packer question here in a minute.
Yeah, you bite your tongue with that Packer talk, mister.
But we do have a breaking Deshaun Watson tweet.
Ooh.
You guys interpret this.
I think
I know what he means. But I want to make sure that I'm not missing like some sort of a reference to a song or pop culture. Deshaun Watson tweeted about 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
I was on 2, then I took it to 10. Dala Black. Is there some sort of a pop culture music reference? Because if it's not, I think I know what he's talking about.
6 to midnight.
That is not what he's saying. He says, I was on 2, then I took it to 10.
Yeah, is he driving 10 and 2? Got to keep it on 10 and 2? Driving?
That's an old guy's interpretation.
Oh,
that'd be an interpretation that I would make.
I think he's referencing that Mitchell Trubisky was drafted 2nd, even though he was supposed to be drafted 2nd, and Trubisky's number is 10.
Ooh, I like
what number,
that.
What number was Watson drafted? 10?
That doesn't matter. What
didn't he go 2nd and Mahomes went 3rd? He
yes,
was like
7th
or 8th, wasn't he?
I thought he was 10. What was
Abdallah's
the tweet again?
Googling. I heard him typing.
Because I believe I heard the reference used by Shefty. I was on 2, then I took it to 10. Double check when he was drafted.
12th.
He was
12th. So it's not that.
I got it. This is what I would say. His anger level was on a 2
yes,
on a scale of 1 to 10, and now
well, that's
he's
the
a
Schefter.
10.
Yeah. That's what Schefter has been saying. So Shefty reported last week when the Texans were in the news, and we were getting all this reporting about Deshaun Watson. Shefty summed it up by saying he talked to somebody close to Deshaun Watson who said that when DeAndre Hopkins was traded,
mm-hmm.
his anger level was at a 2. And right now, based on what's happened, it's up to a 10. So is he basically now publicly coming out and telling everyone exactly what the whispers were, how upset he is? He's at a 10 anger, that this is not going away, that he will ask for a trade, and he will demand to be out of Houston.
I didn't think that this was going to be a possibility because I didn't think Houston would be silly enough to make this deal. And I'm starting to get more and more convinced that, like, Deshaun Watson may just sit. If he's that pissed off, he just may sit. Like, and that would force the Texans to have to make a move.
I think you got to follow the guys who are plugged in, because a year ago we weren't convinced that Brady was leaving.
Yeah.
But Shefty kept saying,
yeah,
it could happen, guys. Yeah. This is real and it could happen. These guys who are so close to all these sources will always say, in a silly rumor, they will always say, guys, this is silly. It's not happening. Let it go. Casey Johnson does that all the time with the Bulls. It's not happening. Just let it go. But Shefty last year with Tom Brady,
yeah,
told
right.
you, and this year what's happening? Mort telling you he's angry, he wants out. Shefty telling you he's angry, he wants out. These guys have reputations, and if this isn't real, they're not putting it out there.
It also goes to the idea of how much leverage does Deshaun Watson have, and I would argue outside of Patrick Mahomes, he probably has the ability to have the most leverage in the National Football League. Like, can you name another player who probably, outside Mahomes, has as much leverage as Watson? Because with some of the other quarterbacks, you can always come back with, he's going up there with age, right?
Well,
like,
I mean,
like
Watson,
Aaron Rodgers, if he's disgruntled, well, he's getting up there in age.
He's got leverage because he's young, but
yes,
he's also signed the big contract. Just to answer your question, I would say Josh Allen, maybe, because he hasn't signed the extension
yet.
But I mean, to take your point literally is dismissing the bigger picture, and that is, you are 100% correct.
Is he willing to play chicken? Is he willing to play chicken where he wouldn't take his game check? He would sit out. You know how these goes. There's a holdout, but they don't get paid until there's games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was easier for Brady to leave, too, because he was a free agent.
Well, yeah, of course.
You know, I mean, like, Deshaun Watson just
NBA
signed a year
guys,
ago.
When you are on this anger level and you demand a trade, we know how it works in the NBA now. Is this the way it's going to work in the NFL?
Didn't Jalen Ramsey force his way out?
Now, he was really...
Jamal
he
Adams
was misbehaving.
Just did it. I mean, Jamal Adams
That's
is
true.
A safety.
Yeah.
And we're,
Jamal
we're thinking
Adams
that
did
a quarterback
it.
Can't do it?
Now, LaDainian Tomlinson didn't do it. LaDainian Tomlinson sat and the Steelers played with him. Like, what are you willing to do?
I would say Jamal Adams again, though. Like, this is a different entity, because this is a 25-year-old accomplished young quarterback. Like, Jamal Adams was a safety, and the Jets were able to get 2 first-round picks for him. Like, Jamal Adams is a fabulous player. But, like, if someone was going to offer you 2 first-round picks for Jamal Adams, I think a lot of teams,
you
especially a team like
right.
the Jets that weren't close, are going to take it.
Right.
Even though
did his leverage get him out, or did just a can't-miss offer of 2 draft picks get him out?
I think it's probably a combination of both.
Yeah, I would imagine if he didn't refuse to play, the offer probably doesn't come
problem
around.
Problem is
right?
with football guys versus basketball guys, like, your career lasts longer. So you have a shorter window in most instances to get as much cash as possible.
Except for quarterbacks.
Yes, that is a different situation.
Are you putting everything you have in a call to Houston?
Oh, I'm definitely making a call. Listen, if you don't have your long-term answer at quarterback, I don't care who you are.
No, but I'm saying, are you making that call with everything they want?
Yeah, you know why, Sylvie? Because, let's eliminate the hypothetical of a career-ending injury early to
Could
Watson.
Happen to anybody.
Outside of that, we expect them to play for, what, the next 12 to 15 years?
Yeah, you hope.
15 years is, I mean, they're making 40.
Look at the NFC playoffs this weekend. We have a bunch of old dudes.
Yeah, I know, but like Deshaun Watson's going to have more miles on him at 40. Okay, can so, we just so, we can see, let's here's say my 10. Point, right? Let's just say 10 years.
Okay, 10 right. years. Okay. Right. If you have to kind of reshape your roster over the course of the next 5, isn't that worth it to have the quarterback figured out so then
for me it is.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you can like actually recoup what you gave away to get that quarterback?
Yeah, and yes. You're not in line to draft one of these quarterbacks at the top. That would be a different debate where you're like, look, we could still get a young quarterback. We're drafting 20 right now. You take what right. you want. You take this year's draft. You take next year's first round pick. We'll take a young quarterback who's already a star in the prime of his career. And I don't believe his contract is that crazy.
And I'm saying no.
What he just signed.
If I'm Texans.
You're saying because the Bears yeah. don't have top end
yeah,
draft
no.
capital.
I'm looking at specifically at the Dolphins and the Jets. I'm looking at the Dolphins. Give me Tua. Give me back all my picks. Give me my high pick from this year, and that's our deal. Because I need a quarterback, and then I can shore up an offensive line. I can do whatever I want. And if I don't like Tua, then whatever. Then just give me my picks back, and we'll figure this out.
If you're the Texans, though, why don't you just try to find a way to get on the same page with your young, talented quarterback? Like, that is the definition of ignorant to me. It's the most difficult position in all of professional sports, not just to get right, but get close to right.
They did trade DeAndre Hopkins.
No,
I know. He's not a quarterback. They were stupid enough to do that for a second.
I got it. I'm just saying
overall. Doesn't he have a no-trade clause?
Yes. He could say no.
If I'm Watson, I'm telling the Bears to screw right off.
Why?
There's no way. Because you didn't want me the first time.
Here.
You didn't want me the first time? You didn't want me the first time, Ryan Pace?
That's a silly grudge.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
That's silly.
Why not?
We're telling you to get out of here.
Are you serious?
You
if I'm Watson, I'm telling the Bears. No, sorry, Bears. You had your shot. No, you should have. No, Mr. High Fade, you shouldn't have drafted the other High Fade. Oh, you didn't even want to have dinner with me? Get the blank out of here, Bears.
No. I mean, if I'm him, I don't make that the basis of my
decision.
You're
going to come. Okay, who are you going to throw to? You're going to throw to Darnell Mooney? Get out of here if I'm Watson.
It's better than what he's got now.
Yeah.
They don't have anyone there.
What are they throwing to in Miami?
No, thanks. Sorry.
Mm-mm. Mike Gesicki?
All right, we got to take a break. 2 minutes. We're back with Doug Gazarian. He was the guy who said that he would handicap it, that Deshaun Watson would get traded, and now this thing continues to escalate. We're talking to Doug in 2 minutes.